Education crisis, students left behind,
global south lagging,
SDG number 4 may not be achievable.
Alright, pause. That sounded like the end of the world.
Well, that's what headlines do. They make it seem like only wealthy countries innovate while the global south is drowning in problems.
But that's a misleading narrative. We never hear the success stories. Creative, community-led, culturally rooted, and sometimes revolutionary forms of education.
Exactly. Would be nice to show different realities. What if that's completely wrong?
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to your podcast, Thoughts for a More Sustainable World, created and promoted by students of Kao Leuven's Master of Sustainable Development to disseminate scientific knowledge and spark curiosity about current global challenges. The title of today's episode is Rethinking What Education Looks Like, featuring Milena Alvarado, your host, Ximena Colan, Agatha Saputri, and Nabila Putri. We will explore creative and powerful initiatives advancing the targets of Sustainable Development Goal number 4, quality education. We will move through socially innovative experiences designed and implemented in the Global South. Today, we travel, at least in our minds, through Guatemala, South Africa, the Philippines, and Indonesia to show that SDG number 4 is not a one-size-fits-all framework. It adapts, evolves, and surprises. So grab water, grab snacks, because we are about to take a trip.
Houston, United States government, 4 emergency exits, 2 on the right wing, 1 over the left on the door you entered. But did you see you will find a light vessel?
Starting off strong, we land in rural Guatemala. Beautiful mountains, long winding roads, but with beauty comes distance, right, Ximena?
It's true. Some indigenous communities are hours away from the nearest secondary school. Electricity is unreliable. Studying at night isn't a luxury, it's just impossible.
Oh, it seems like education challenges here aren't just academic, they are structural. Long travel distances, language barriers, gender norms, lack of electricity. Imagine being a child wanting to finish homework, but the sun has set. Darkness equals learning stops?
Well, not necessarily. Guatemala has one of the most iconic grassroots programs. The name is Solar Mamas, so by the NGO Barefoot College. So these women become solar engineers in just 6 months, without needing literacy, without English, through learning that adapts to their realities.
Wait, how is that even possible?
Picture this. Indigenous women, many of them are grandmothers, travel for around 6 months to India. This is where the program started. No engineering degrees, no English required. They learn solar panel installation, wiring, circuit repair, through visual and hands-on learning.
So you say that education adapts to them, not them to it. What do they do when they return?
Well, they electrify their villages. Homes light up. Health posts run at night. Schools and houses gain electricity. Kids can study after sunset. Teachers use projectors and computers. Families stop spending money on kerosene for electric generators.
Wow, it shows how by educating one woman, we can transfer an entire community.
Yes, exactly. As you see, it goes along with one of the targets of the SDG for 2030, which aims to eliminate gender disparities in education and ensure equal access to all levels of education, also vocational training by vulnerable groups. And it's also an example of what authors will label as social innovation. In this case, education is co-created with communities, builds collective capacity, and challenges the limits of formal systems.
Great. So here, educational access improves by improving sustainable energy access. Is that correct?
Precisely. It's all about social ecological entanglement. Another relevant concept when talking about sustainable development. Communities and ecosystems co-evolving through innovation. Guatemala teaches us that quality education isn't always about textbooks. It can be all about applied knowledge, energy, agency, access, and women empowerment.
Next plane, next case. Pack your multilingual dictionaries. We're flying to South Africa. Welcome to MyCan South Africa. On campus at Northwest University, something fascinating is happening. A project called Bakonde, boosting and assisting the use of African languages in education, is changing how students learn.
That sounds interesting, Milena. Tell us more about it.
Here's the context. Post-apartheid education was heavily English-dominated. Many learners speak African languages at home, so entering university feels like translating your brain non-stop. And research shows that students learn better and faster when using languages they think in.
Okay, so I guess Bakonde helps students learn in their own language?
You guessed it right. Bakonde trains lecturers in multilingual teaching. They use translanguaging, multilingual glossaries, and digital language repositories where students can search academic terms in Setswana, isiZulu, isiXhosa, Sesotho, and more. Language officers support faculty, helping transform modules instead of one-time translation. It's systemic, institutional, and not temporary.
Cool! This is SDE4 in practice. Quality equals accessibility, and accessibility equals language. If a student understands physics because it's explained in their own language, of course, that's totally quality education.
Of course. Walking campus today, you hear students switch languages like turning a light on. English isn't erased, it's just complemented.
Okay, sounds like education isn't just Western imitation. It becomes culturally anchored.
Culturally anchored. That's the point. Because how else could we pursue planetary benchmarks like the Sustainable Development Goals if not adapting them or even redefining them within specific national and cultural contexts? And that's how Bakonde tackles inequality in education, not by forcing uniformity, but by valuing identity.
Impressive! I can see a future where African research is written, studied, and expanded in African languages.
Closer every day. Now, are you ready for our next destination? Ah, the Philippines. Every time someone mentions it, I just know something interesting is coming. Agatha, what can you tell us about the education in this part of the world?
Well, first quick question. What was your school when you were in elementary or high school? Surrounded by walls for 7 hours straight? Brain melting from math? Silently begging the universe for just one passing grade?
Ugh, a universal childhood trauma. Google school and it's literally kids lined up at desks pretending to understand life.
I know, right? But some communities looked at that system and said, nope. In the Philippines, an indigenous group actually built their own school because mainstream education was failing them culturally.
Interesting, and maybe risky? Why abandon the usual system?
Because the Mangyan community faced discrimination and they felt alienated in mainstream schools. So back in 1989, they established the Tugdaan Mangyan School. It's a place where culture isn't erased, but rather strengthened.
Okay, that's cool. But do they still study the normal subjects?
Yes, they actually do. Tugdaan blends the Philippines Department of Education curriculum with their indigenous identity. As Kaoli and Tenorio wrote in 2023, they sustain culture through mainstream language access, elder pedagogy, safe spaces, and also inward gaze.
Elder pedagogy, inward gaze? You're losing me.
So basically, elder pedagogy means many teachers are Mangyan culture bearers, people who hold the community stories, values, and history. Meanwhile, inward gaze means affirming their cultural identity and deciding which traditions strengthen the community today.
So, what do students actually study?
Well, along with their regular subjects, they have sustainable agriculture, Mangyan culture, community development, as well as indigenous skills and practices. They sometimes use their mother tongue to keep it alive too, but they also learn Filipino and English, something UNESCO says empowers indigenous learners.
This is genius, preparing kids for the future and preserving who they are. And I heard they even have weaving cottages in agricultural centers?
They do, very hands-on, very rooted in their identity, similar to Maori schools in New Zealand or Navajo community schools in the US.
Honestly, I want a school like that. If my country doesn't have one, I'll call my friends from the masters and make one.
Sure, future founder.
So, where are we now? Wait, this music is familiar. Nabila, are we in Indonesia?
Yes, we're in Indonesia, home to more than 84,000 villages.
Wow, so how's education here?
Like many countries, there's inequality. Some children walk far to get to school, some families lack books or digital access, some parents aren't aware of early childhood learning. So education challenges are just about school buildings, it's about the entire environment around families. And this case shows how to reshape that environment from the ground up. Kampung Berseri Astra or KBA.
Oh yes, I think I've heard about it briefly before. KBA is a community development program that supports villages through four pillars, right? But how exactly? What does KBA actually do?
KBA supports villages through, as you said, a four-pillar model: health, environment, entrepreneurship, and education. But what makes it special is how deeply it aligns with SDG number 4, not just for kids, but for whole families. It builds learning opportunities at multiple levels. For children, they help with kindergartens, reading corners, tutoring, digital literacy, and environmental learning. And for parents, they help with entrepreneurship workshops, financial literacy, health education, also parenting programs.
Sounds like the whole family becomes a learning ecosystem.
Exactly. And when parents grow, children grow too. Imagine, the mom joins business training, the dad learns sustainable farming or waste management, the kids attend reading programs and tutoring. Suddenly, the whole household becomes more confident, skilled, and independent. That's social innovation in action.
Wow, it's SDG number 4, but it supports other SDGs as well. SDG 1, for example, no poverty, SDG 3, good health and well-being, and also SDG 11, sustainable cities and communities.
Yes, one program improves multiple dimensions of village life. And today, KBA has empowered 235 villages across 35 provinces.
Amazing! I believe this whole journey shows just one thing clearly. Quality education is not just about fixing schools, it's about transforming communities.
Exactly! And innovation is happening everywhere, especially in the Global South. Resilient grassroots project detect needs and addresses them creatively and accurately. Guatemala, South Africa, the Philippines, Indonesia.
But what about the lingering notion that the Global South is less innovative or less likely to make a meaningful contribution to achieving the SDGs?
Debunked!
So, what have we learned on this journey?
From Guatemala, that women electrify villages. Proven education leads to empowerment and technology accessibility.
from South Africa that multilingual education improves equity and academic success.
From the Philippines that culture can exist with academics, not against it.
And from Indonesia that education thrives when families and communities learn together.
The Global South isn't lacking innovation, it's full of context-driven solutions.
Quality is not uniform, it's relevance, access, identity, and empowerment.
SDG number 4 isn't about a perfect classroom, it's about building futures through learning in any form.
Education is light, sometimes solar-powered, sometimes spoken in our mother tongue, sometimes woven into culture, sometimes shared at home with family. And that is exactly what Sustainable Development Goal 4 calls for. Ensuring inclusive and equitable quality education and promoting lifelong learning opportunities for all. When education meets people where they are, everyone grows. Thank you for listening.
See you next episode.